The following is a lecture entitled Pure Devotional Service, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on August 4th, 2007, in Tewaco, New Jersey, USA.
So, ladies and gentlemen, devotees, I thank you very much for attending this program on Pure Devotional Service. Pure devotional service is the essence of existence. Just as a fish is meant to be in the water. And if he is outside of the water, he must be in great difficulty by nature of his nature. In the same way, the living entity is meant to be engaged in pure devotional service. Material consciousness will not do, nor will mixed devotional service do. Just imagine if the fish is halfway in the water and halfway in the land. You see? He's getting a little life, but he's not getting enough to really survive. At least by being in contact with the water, he can breathe a little bit, you see. Because the fish, they breathe through the water. But he cannot eat. Only if he completely is in the ocean, swimming around, then he can get his eatables, you see. So in the same way, material consciousness will not satisfy, nor even will mixed devotional service. Mixing material life and spiritual life. So someone may say, but I have a family to maintain. I just received an email from Latin America, the readers of my e-course who reads the Spanish version. I received an email from him through the translator's help. He wants to be a pure devotee of Krishna, but yet he feels so much burdened by all of his material duties. Then how can I possibly be a pure devotee when I have all these material duties? You see? He didn't see how it was practical, even though he wanted it. He was thinking like this, that the boat is drowning, the ship is sinking, I mean to say. Then you're trying to get all of your family members onto the lifeboat, but you yourself are drowning. He was thinking, let the boat go, just save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. That how can I handle all these material responsibilities? Better to forget about all of that and just save myself. But yet he said, I can't do that. He can't do that, even though he feels he should. He can't do that because he feels a responsibility for his wife and family, you see. How can I just abandon them? So he's wondering what to do in this dilemma, you see. He made this very long email explaining, but actually the answer is very simple. You simply do everything for Krishna, that's all. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, as well as whatever you offer or give away, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So whatever duties or responsibilities you may have because of your past activities, you simply offer those to Krishna. That's all. I told him, my dear sir, you pray in this way, that my dear Lord, whatever I may have, my family, my wife, my wealth, whatever I may have, it is all your property. And please bless me that I can engage it all in your service. That's all. It's a very simple thing. It's not difficult. One may have nothing except the skin, the clothes on one's back. Or one may have a big house and so many duties, whatever one's position, it doesn't matter, big, small, in the middle. Whatever our situation, if we will simply beg Krishna, my dear Lord, whatever I have, please bless me that I can use all of this in your service. You see? then anyone and everyone can enter into that most sublime activity, that most sublime consciousness known as pure devotional service. And according to the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahaitaki Pratiyata Yoyatmo Supersedati. Unless one engages in pure devotional service, they will not be satisfied. And what is the definition given there of pure devotional service? Ahaitaki Pratiyata. You know the Sanskrit? Yeah? Yes, Ahaitaki means unmotivated. I don't have anything motive that I want to get something out of doing this service. I want some position. I want some recognition. I want some money. You see? I will become a very fired up preacher so that people will worship me. Or I can get some money, or I can control people. You see? That's motive. No? That will never satisfy. And a pratiyata means there is no interruption. Not that I do bhakti on Sunday and Monday I engage in sense gratification. Sometimes we hear it said, what kind of devotee are you? Are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? I find that question to be absolutely ridiculous. If you're a devotee, you're a devotee all the time. You mean you're a devotee only when you come to the temple and you go home, you're a karmi? I hope not. Immediately get out the meat and the liquor and the cigarettes and engage in sense gratification as soon as you get home? I hope not. Devotee means always a devotee. Kirtaniya sadahari. He wants to always be engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Before I became a Vanaprastha traveling guru, I was working a job like many of you. You see? But I would put my picture of Prabhupada and Krishna there, you see, in the desk. So anyone who comes, they immediately see, oh, this is not an ordinary employee in this corporation. And one day I even thought, well, I think I would wear tilak also. Want to be a little bold, you know. So that day, I was a telesalesperson. Actually, award-winning telesalesperson. And that day, I wore the tilak. My sales went through the roof. I mean, I really had a big day that day. So my boss said, I don't know what you're wearing on your forehead, but you should wear that every day. See, because this Krishna consciousness, it is simply wonderful. Because if we offer everything to Krishna, you see, whatever we have, we say, Krishna, this is all for you. Please bless me. I can use all of it for you. What will Krishna do? You see? The more we engage what we have in the service of Krishna, He will give us more. If we use our money in Krishna's service, He'll give us more money. That's the secret of becoming rich, actually. The Birla family, they knew this. You see, they built so many temples in India. They knew the secret. Whatever money you have, if you engage that in Krishna's service, He will give you more. Whatever ability you have to lead other people and guide them and inspire them, if you use that for Krishna, then He will give you more of that. You see, whatever we have, whatever talent, whatever ability, if you can write nicely, then write articles for Back to Godhead magazine, you see. Write Krishna conscious thing. So whatever you have, if you use that for Krishna, then you will get more and more facility. So Krishna consciousness brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. You don't have to wait 100 years to get out of anxiety. All you have to do is take the mood of pure bhakti right now. You see? That from this moment forward, I'm always going to be in the mood of pure bhakti. sometimes in ISKCON we forget this because we have so many big projects going on. This thing, that thing, you see. We're thinking the projects are the ultimate goal. But we forget what is the real goal, which is pure devotional service. That's the actual goal of why we're doing all this. Why we get up early, why we worship the deities, why we chant japa, why we preach, why we build temples, why we have Rath Yatra festivals. What is the purpose of all this? Why we offer cook and offer prasadam to Krishna, foodstuffs to Krishna. We forget what is the purpose of all this. Why we put tilak on, why we come to the temple, why we hear lectures on the science of bhakti. What is the purpose of all this, you see? The purpose of all of this is to attain pure bhakti. Why? Because when you develop pure bhakti, then you can purchase Krishna. It's like when you want to take the airplane flying somewhere, you have to find out what is the price for the ticket, you see. If you want to fly to India, then what is the price of ticket? And you raise the fare and you buy your ticket. You go to India. You see. So, there is another type of ticket. It is called Krishna ticket. And by that ticket, you can purchase Krishna. He becomes your personal property, actually. So what is the price of that ticket? That price is pure bhakti. If you can develop pure love for Krishna, then that Krishna who is Ajita, who is unconquerable by anyone or anything, because he is all-powerful, that Krishna becomes Jita or conquered by what? Your bhakti, by your love. You see? In this world, everyone is struggling how to become powerful, how to become rich, how to become famous. But even they get some power, some riches, and some fame. It is fleeting. It is temporary. It comes and it goes. But if that person who has unlimited power, unlimited fame, and unlimited riches becomes your personal property, do you think that you could ever be lacking in power, riches, and fame? Is it possible? No, it's impossible. So therefore, those who are actually intelligent, they understand the true secret of success. Why chase the shadow of success? Material success, you see, it's simply the shadow of success. Why run after the shadow? When you're hungry, will the shadow of an apple satisfy your appetite? Then, my dear lady, I see you are hungry. I will give you a shadow of an apple. Will that satisfy you? Is it? No. The shadow of a thing, that will not satisfy. But the real thing, that will satisfy. Therefore, we should go after that person who has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. Those things that we are after, power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, they all become unlimitedly accessible and available to us when we give ourselves completely to Krishna. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as everyone follows my path, mama vardbanu vartante manusha parata sarvashah. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects of Sanaprita. You may say, what is that? Everyone's following Krishna? Wait a minute, how can Krishna say that? Everyone follows me. Well, doesn't everyone follow the government also? The law-abiding citizens, they voluntarily follow the government, and the criminals, they involuntarily follow when they are arrested and put in the prison. So everyone is following the government, voluntarily or by force. So what do you choose? You'd rather be a free citizen or an inmate in the state penitentiary? Cell number, 1520. What would you prefer? You want to be an inmate? Incarcerated? We saw the other day some poor fellow, I don't know what he did, but he had a big fancy, one of those, Humvees, big, real like a $30,000 vehicle, brand new, but the police pulled him over, they had him in handcuffs, and they put him in the squad car. I don't know what he did wrong, but that's not a fun thing, to be arrested and take and handcuffed and put down in a cell, you see. So, we can, everyone has to serve the government. So everyone will serve Krishna. Everyone will follow Krishna, that's the thing. The devotees, they follow him in the most wonderful way. They connect with his spiritual energy through the process of bhakti. And the non-devotees, they are also serving his material energy. But what do they get? They get the threefold miseries and they get the fourfold miseries. And if that was not enough, you know what they also get? The seven whips described in Krishna book. You know the seven whips? Yes. You can look that up. The seven whips in the Krishna book. So being in the material consciousness, it is not very nice, actually. The threefold misery, the fourfold misery, the seven whips. And then there's the IRS on top of all of that. Actually, the IRS is called, it's in the category of Adi Bhaktic miseries. Yeah. Miseries caused by other living entities, you see. So these miseries, we are afflicted by them. But if you come out to the platform of pure bhakti, then all of those miseries, they become conspicuous by their absence. In other words, you will see the whole, you will perceive this vast material existence as nothing more significant than some cinema show on the screen of the material nature. You will realize your eternal identity beyond the cinema show of birth and death, old age and disease. You will see all these miseries are just something happening out there in the material nature, while you're relishing the sweet mellows of Krishna bhakti at every minute, which is your eternal identity, you see. So Krishna consciousness pulls you out of the suffering of material existence. And at the same time, the amazing nature is, because it's all Krishna's energy, Krishna empowers you to act expertly within the material nature, even while you transcend him. The normal conception of spiritual life that people have is, well, if you become, you know, too spiritual, then you become a material disaster case. You won't be able to pay your bills, you know, you won't be able to drive properly. You'd be completely, your marriage will fall apart, everything will be a disaster. You become too spiritual. Isn't that the normal conception? In India, as soon as they hear that their child wants to join ISKCON, they immediately say, no. You can pray once a week, and that's it. Other than that, just, you must be absorbed in material life. We'll give you 1 hour a week for prayer, son. Don't get into this Krishna consciousness, you see, it will ruin you. That's a normal conception, actually. Well, you see, this is the normal conception. But this is foolishness. Because wherever there is Krishna, Lakshmi is automatically there, Radharani, you see. Wherever there is Narayan, Lakshmi is there. So one who actually becomes Krishna conscious and uses everything in the service of Krishna, there's no lacking in any way, material or spiritual. There's no difficulty. Why struggle to get Lakshmi, to get money, you see? For the non-devotee, Lakshmi is chanchala, she is flickering. Sometimes there, sometimes not there. But when someone becomes fully absorbed in Krishna bhakti, whatever money they need, Krishna automatically provides it to them. And he has unlimited money. He has a huge bank account, Krishna. Any currency you want, you see, dollars, rupees, rand, anything, any currency. It's all, Krishna has unlimited currency and money in any currency. Whatever you need for Krishna's service, he can immediately provide. Yes. Just like Prabhupada had no money, but he bought the Fisher Mansion in Detroit, you see. Opulent mansion with gold plated everything. He bought it easily. Krishna provided the money. So we shouldn't, even though we go about our material duties, offering them in the service of Krishna, we should not be in anxiety about the material side of life. If we simply fully absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then everything wonderful will be there for us. And we will know exactly what to do. We will not be bewildered anymore by the bewildering influence of Srimati Mayadevi. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena imam vyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So simply we have to be constantly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna will give all understanding. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I had so many questions. So I would write Prabhupada a letter. You see, and he would very mercifully answer my questions. Again and again I wrote Prabhupada and he would write me back and answer my questions. But then in one letter, he said, if you will simply engage in pure devotional service 24 hours with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So, if we become totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will bless us with the knowledge of how to do everything just in the right way for Him. At every step, we will know how to proceed. Sometimes my disciples write, Gurudev, I don't know what to do in such a situation. Please guide me. So I say, you're always welcome anytime to write, to get help on how to make proper decisions. But if you simply become absorbed fully in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give you that intelligence also, how to do everything correctly in all times, all places, and all situations. So this commodity known as pure devotional service, there's nothing more wonderful, more valuable, more sweet, more nectarian, more ecstatic, more amazing, more fantastic than pure Krishna consciousness. And that is really what we're offering in ISKCON, you see. There are many temples. Now, Hindu temples are everywhere. Of course, in the old days, it was only ISKCON here in America. But now there are Hindu temples everywhere. You know, there's people, so many people teaching yoga, meditation, you know. So many things. What do we have unique in ISKCON? What do we really have a monopoly on? You see, that is pure devotional service. Because everywhere else you go, they teach some mixed idea. You know, you come here and you pray for money, you pray for a job, and, you know, the deity will bless you. You will get your job and all this. They teach mixed thing like that. Even though Christ taught pure bhakti, in the Christian churches they don't teach pure bhakti. They teach that you go to God to get your material things, whatever you want, you ask God and He will give you. And that's why you should pray to God, so you can get whatever you want. Is that love of God? Do you say that's love of God? No, that is not love of God. That's love of material thing. So, in this Krishna consciousness movement, under the expert guidance of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we are simply teaching our students how to develop pure bhakti. Because that is the only thing that will satisfy. You may pray to God for this thing and that, and you may get that thing, but you still won't be happy because you didn't get God. You didn't achieve Krishna. You only got your monthly rent paid, that's all. There is one story given by Prabhupada. There was one lady, you may have heard this story. There was one woman, she was in the forest, and what did she have? She had a big bundle of sticks on her shoulder. And she was getting very tired. Actually, she finally just dropped it in exhaustion. She couldn't handle that bundle of sticks. And she said, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, help me, help me." So Krishna was very kind. He appeared to that woman. He says, "Yes, what do you need?" She said, "Can you put the bundle of sticks back on my shoulder?" You see? Help me get the sticks back up on my shoulder. You see, that is not very intelligent thing. My dear Lord, please, 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 will you bless me that I can pay my rent this month? Please bless me, I can get that new Toyota that I wanted, you see. Please bless me, I can find the nice wife or husband, you see. See, these things are not that difficult to obtain. They come anyway by the result of our karma. And to absorb our consciousness, our God, you know, our approaching God on this level, we're cheating ourselves actually out of the greatest happiness. We're only cheating ourselves by approaching God in that way. We should simply pray for pure bhakti. And those things will come. What is that shloka? Ananyas chintayantamang ye jana paryapasate teshang nichabiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. It will all come anyway. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. It all comes, you see. Whatever you need, it all comes by the mercy of Krishna. Simply we put ourselves into pure bhakti spirit and then everything comes. Now we're the preachers of this movement are thinking how we can inundate this world with Krishna bhakti, how we can make everyone Krishna conscious. But you know what Srila Prabhupada told to Tamal Krishna Goswami when he was a young brahmachari? He said, Krishna can give you all of America in 5 minutes. What you will do with it? You see? So our preachers of ISKCON, we are thinking how to make the whole world Krishna conscious. But are we competent to lead the world? You see, if we're not in the mood of pure bhakti, we are not competent to lead the world. You see? Actually, when we become solidly fixed in pure bhakti, then the whole world will come forward to join, to take Prabhupada's shelter. You see, the whole world will come. When we become purely fixed in pure devotional service, completely absorbed in pure bhakti, then the whole world will come forward to join. Yes, you Hare Krishna people, you understand the real meaning and purpose of existence. You have no material motives. You simply want to serve God and do the highest service for the suffering humanity. Yes, you should now lead the world. See, the presidents, the prime ministers, the leaders will come to the ISKCON leaders and they will say, now you tell us how to run our countries in a way that will please Prabhupada. You see? So it is very important that we develop pure bhakti spirit. Become completely absorbed in pure devotional service 24/7. We studied this morning in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class the most wonderful instruction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is instructing us that our every thought, word, and deed in all situations must be for the benefit of all living entities. And what is that benefit for all living entities? Pure devotional service. There's nothing else which is all auspicious except for pure devotional service. Everything else is tinged with material desire, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Everything else is tinged. So if we come to pure bhakti, spirit, then we become qualified to be the best friends of everyone. Krishna says in the Gita, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, I am the best friend of all living beings. But his devotee, his pure devotee, is also best friend because he purely represents Krishna. So we are meant to be the best friends of everyone. The best friend of our family members, the best friend of our neighbors, the best friend of ourselves also. The best friend of the whole world. We, each one of us, is meant to be best friend. So if we have some material desire, I want name, I want fame, I want recognition, I want money, I want this, that, so many things, we cannot be best friend because we are greedy, we are selfish. But if we come to pure bhakti platform, then we are our own best friend also. I remember reading many years ago, I was living all alone. I was sent by our GBC to open one temple in a remote city, in a remote state. I was all alone there with no association. I remember reading in the Bhagavatam that if one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, they make spiritual advancement just by associating with their own mind. And I was thinking, yes, I have to come to that level now. Because there's nobody out here to associate with. I just have my own mind 24 hours a day to associate with. So what is that mind? What does it mean to actually be advanced? It means to have a mind that's totally absorbed in bhakti 24 hours a day. No other consideration. That everything is for Krishna. My family life is for Krishna. My professional life is for Krishna. My social life is for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. Is it? This consciousness is known as Krishna consciousness. You see. We use that term very cheaply sometimes. But we should understand what is the real meaning of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means pure bhakti, actually. You know what Lord Chaitanya said? He said, actually, I am not Krishna conscious. He said, the proof that I am not Krishna conscious is that I am still living even in the absence of my beloved Lord. If I really was Krishna conscious, I would die immediately in the separation of Krishna. So according to Lord Chaitanya, maintaining one's body in the separation of Krishna is a proof of not being Krishna conscious. So we have to understand what it really means to be Krishna conscious. It means to be intensely desiring the Lord's association at every minute. That is Krishna consciousness. Pure bhakti means to be intensely desiring the association of the Lord at every minute. Krishna has very kindly facilitated us that we can indeed have that association at every minute. He has appeared as Nam Avatar. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we will take advantage of these sweet, these unlimitedly nectarian, wonderful, overflowing with nectar holy names, then we can associate with God at every minute. So the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we take rest at night, and if we fill up our waking hours with pure bhakti at night, we will also dream about Krishna. So we will be 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And again, just to make the point very clearly understood, this does not mean that you become material disaster case. Arjuna, when he was not Krishna conscious, he couldn't even perform his ordinary duties. You see? He reported to work. When he showed up at his workplace without Krishna consciousness, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do his job. He couldn't function his professional duties, because he was lacking Krishna consciousness. But as soon as he took shelter of Krishna. Karpanya dosho pahatasvabhava prichchami tvam dharma samuddha chetaha yat shreyansya nishchitam bruhitan me shishyastehaṁ sharimam tvam prapanam. You know so many verses. Now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me, you see. As soon as Arjun took this move, even though he reported for work and he couldn't function in his job, he dropped all the instruments of his occupation and couldn't function. He just started crying. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's like some computer programmer. They report to work on Monday morning and they sit down at their keyboard and they just lose it. They throw the computer on the floor and they say, I can't handle this. They just start crying. The manager comes in. What's going on, Amit? You see? So that's what happened to Arjun. He reported for work in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And his boss was there, Krishna. Actually, he wasn't thinking Krishna was boss. That was the problem. He was thinking Krishna is my friend. That was a problem. This is my buddy, you see. But when he understood that, no, of course Krishna is friend, but far, far beyond that, he is my master, my Lord and Master. Therefore, I must totally surrender to him. You see, when he came to that understanding, then he became empowered in his professional duties. He became not only empowered in his professional duties, but he became the topmost person in his professional field. In this connection, Prabhupada explains that Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. We are not against material success, you see. Whatever you are doing, do it for Krishna and become expert in that thing. If you're a lawyer, you become the top lawyer. You see, if you're a teacher, become the best teacher. Whatever you're doing, you become the best for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. If you're raising children, raise them to be pure devotees of Krishna. Be the best parent. You see. Teach your children how to be totally successful, 100%, in every aspect of life. You see, that is success as a parent. So in this way, we can understand and appreciate what is this wonderful science of pure devotional service. So now I would like to ask you, assembled devotees, if any of you have questions. I will be happy to try to answer your question. Yeah.
Now, we know that, and as you mentioned, that you should aspire for pure bhakti. But at the beginning, person who are coming first time, or maybe just getting introduced, for them it will be a far, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right. This is a someone who's coming for the first time, they don't even know what bhakti is. What is speak of pure bhakti? What are you people talking about anyway? You see? Just because there are new people coming doesn't mean we don't give advanced subject matter. It's like in the university, you have bachelor's degree, master's level, PhD level. I'm giving very high level PhD information here, actually. But if there's some newcomers here today, you don't wonder what's going on. I don't know what you people are talking about. Then we can explain. Is there anyone here for the first time today? Anyone new here? All right. So he's been very merciful. I didn't know him. So now we have to give some introductory way of understanding. I'd be speaking at a very high level. You see. for the introductory understanding. Here we are, somehow or other we can see that we exist. I mean, you know, we know that we exist. And we can also see that we are part of something which is bigger than ourselves. I mean, it's obvious, you know, I'm just a little person here, there's a whole universe. It's an obvious distinction, I'm just one of many within this like gigantic universe. So, I am the part, and there is some whole, which is the complete whole, which is much greater than me. So what we are teaching here is the science of how to become completely, totally satisfied. You are part of a complete whole, which is greater than you. If you can learn how to live in a state of perfect harmony with that complete whole, in other words, resonate with it instead of resonating against it. There's some purpose to the existence, you see. So if we can learn how to live in a state of harmony with that total existence, then that is called spiritual perfection. Different names in India, like Sanskrit, samadhi, you see, that state of spiritual trance, where you live in perfect harmony with God, the source of all existence. So we are not teaching any sectarian religion here. I mean, I'm not from a Hindu family, for example. I was born in a Christian family. So I didn't come to join, I'm not here because I wanted to become a Hindu. But I came here because I understood that our founder, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, had realized what is the perfection of spiritual enlightenment. And he was making it freely available to his students. So that's what we are teaching here. It's all coming, I'm just a servant of our founder, Srila Prabhupada. He was initiated by him in 1971 as his disciple, Sankarshan Das. So my duty is not to invent some teaching. Everything that I'm speaking is simply what I have learned from Prabhupada. I am not here to invent anything new, to give some flowery words to impress people that I'm, you know, a learned guru or something like that. I'm simply here as a humble servant of Srila Prabhupada. And he has given knowledge, he has given information, he has given a technology or a methodology that enables one to become completely free of all anxiety, that enables one to escape the samsara, the wheel of birth and death, and achieve one's original eternal nature in the spiritual world. We actually had an identity in the spiritual world before we came here to the cycle of birth and death. We weren't always rotating in the cycle of birth and death. There was a time when we actually existed in the spiritual world. But becoming curious of what it would like to be the center of all existence, why I should bow down to someone else who's the center, why not, what it would be like if I was the center? We became very eager to try to check that out, see. So Krishna said, all right, really you're better off to stay here, but if you really want to know, go ahead, try it. If you think you can be pull it off being the center of existence, I'll give you a chance to try it. Let's see, New Jersey. Try it. See how it works. See if you feel it's a good fit. And try on the shoe and see how it fits. So we tried to squeeze our foot into the shoe, you know, but it's really not the proper size. That shoe only fits God, Supreme Person. Because some philosophers say that we're all God. But that only means that we're God in quality. We have the qualities of God, namely eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It doesn't mean that we're actually that person who is emanating everything from himself. It doesn't mean that we have all the powers of God. We have the qualities of God. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But we don't have, it's not that I'm the person who's feeding everyone every morning. If so, why do I worry about getting my own food every day? You see, how am I going to pay my bill? How am I going to pay the shopping bill? See, God doesn't have those anxieties. He's emanating all the food for everyone, from Himself. So it's obvious to any, if we carefully consider, it's obviously that I'm not the Supreme Person. So we have to learn how to live in a state of proper relationship with that Supreme Person. So that's what we're describing here. And in the beginning stage, you know, one will come, obviously, to think, what can I get out of this? That's the normal thing in the beginning. And that's okay in the beginning. What's in it for me? That's the normal thing we all have. That's how we operate. What am I going to get out of this for myself? But as one progresses along the pathway of spiritual advancement, then gradually that idea, that egotistic, me-centered, I-centered concept evaporates. And you become totally absorbed in service to your beloved Lord. And what in your position doesn't even matter anymore. That's called pure bhakti. But the secret of it is that when you come to that mood, then you're in a better position than you could ever be when you struggle to get everything for yourself. Because that person who controls and owns everything is now blessing you with everything at every minute. So the only you can come to that position by the mood of selfless service. So in the beginning, it's impossible to have pure bhakti in the beginning. Because our nature, we've been trained to be selfish. I mean, that's how we're trained up in this material world. So you can't immediately, we don't even know what pure bhakti is. We have to understand what it is and gradually come to that position. But I am giving this seminar on pure devotional service because we are all struggling to come to that position. Those of us who have actually understood what is this, the science of Bhagavad Gita. So we have to explain, even though it's high-level subject matter, we have to sometimes explain what the real goal is and why we're doing all, why we're praying, why we're bowing down, why we're honoring Prasad, why we were studying Bhagavad Gita. We have to really know why we're doing all this. It's not just some ritual we're doing here for material advancement. There's an actual spiritual reason for everything that we're doing. So perhaps that made it a little bit more. Did that make it more common, understandable to you what we're doing here? Yeah. Any other newcomers who are confused what's going on, or even recent comers who are confused? What are you talking about anyway? Are those who are knowledgeable? Anything that you might like to understand further about this subject matter? Or do you feel you already know it? You've already mastered the subject matter in full. And there's nothing more for you to know about it. Okay?
As we progress toward pure devotional service, it goes in steps, and eventually it gets to that ahayatukhi state. Mm-hmm. But after you become situated on the platform of pure devotional service, mm-hmm. does it continue to get more pure?
Yeah. That's the amazing nature of pure devotional service. It's ever increasing. Even though you become completely pure, you become, on top of that, it becomes more pure, even more pure, and more pure, and more pure, and more pure. In a material thing, if you clean something off, then it's clean. You know, if you take the chalkboard and you erase it, especially if you take a rag and some water, and you take a hose and you hose it down so all the chalk is completely washed off the chalkboard. You say, well, now there's not even a slight trace of chalk left. But when it comes to pure devotional service, it's ever increasing. The more you become Krishna conscious, the more you desire to become even more Krishna conscious, then Krishna blesses you that you can increase your Krishna consciousness unlimitedly. An example in this connection is Krishna himself. Certainly Krishna is perfect in his understanding of everything. He is called Sarva Gya, one who knows everything. You see? abhigya. He is completely cognizant of everything. So, certainly Krishna is fully Krishna conscious, isn't it? But there's one catch in this connection, and that is, even though Krishna fully comprehends his own unlimited glories, those glories are ever expanding. Even though Krishna has fully understood his glories, they have expanded infinitesimally within a millisecond. They have expanded infinitesimally, and now Krishna is trying to catch up. He fully understood himself, but now his own glories have expanded. So now how to catch that? And he catches, and again it expands. He catches, and again it expands. He catches, and again it expands. You understand? So if even Krishna is not fully Krishna conscious, do you think you will ever be fully Krishna conscious? Is he? Even if you become fully Krishna conscious, Krishna will expand his glories and you have to catch up. So in this sense, we become more pure, more pure, more pure, more selfless. And that makes Krishna consciousness unlimitedly exciting, because no matter how far you advance, you can become more advanced. Jai Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. Srinath Ji Ki Jai, Sita Ramanaman Lakshman Ki Jai. So, just like a businessman, we see, even they become unlimitedly wealthy, they still think, how can I make more money? They're never satisfied. So, they are greedy for money and we are greedy for bhakti. Even if we have unlimited bhakti, still that is not enough. The more we taste bhakti, the more our appetite for bhakti increases. Give me more bhakti, more. So in this sense, Krishna consciousness never becomes boring. It is the most exciting adventure you can ever begin. You see? Somebody may go to climb Mount Everest. They're so excited, I'm going to conquer Mount Everest. But they get to the top and now it's over. They have to come down again. But Krishna consciousness is that Mount Everest. And you, even if you reach the top, and then there's another top to reach, and another top, and you just keep going higher and higher and higher for all of eternity. Even if you reach the summit, then Krishna says, now you have reached the top, and I will give you another summit. You can even go higher and higher and higher and higher. So you never have to come down from Krishna consciousness. You just keep going higher, higher, higher. You become a billionaire, now you become a trillionaire, you see. And then a quadrillionaire, and a quintillionaire, and a sextillionaire, and then a... What's the next one? Zillionaire one. So there's no limit. Once you get on the pathway of pure bhakti, there's no limit to how far you can grow, you see. How much you can increase the nectar you are tasting at every minute, there's no limit. So don't be a fool, you see, who doesn't take up bhakti path. Anyone who takes up bhakti path, they are most intelligent person. The next question. Yeah.
I have two questions. One is,
give me one question and I'll answer the second one after that.
As you say that pure devotion service, like whatever you have to offer is...
That's right.
And this mind I'm giving to Krishna, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's the impediment.
Well, you have to kick out that. You have to remember, Niramama, nothing is mine. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, you should beat your mind with shoes 100 times in the morning and with broomstick 100 times in the evening. What is that broomstick? Niramama. Niramama, Niramama, nothing is mine, nothing is mine. You have to constantly remind yourself. This is not these, all these things I think they are mine. They are the property of Krishna. They are all meant to be used for Him. You see. If you're still thinking mine, that is contamination. That is inhibiting your spiritual progress. So it's not that you artificially give them up, you keep them, but you use them for Krishna. That's all. You don't have to artificially give them up by going to the forest. You keep them, but use them for Krishna. Think, how can I engage these things and these persons in Krishna's service? That's how you must think. And now, what is your second question?
What about the 7 weeks? I can understand that.
Seven whips.
The seven whips.
Whips.
Oh, the seven whips.
3, 4, 4, 7 weeks.
I know hunger, thirst, and lamentation. And I forgot the other four.
Bewilderment.
Huh?
Bewilderment.
Bewilderment.
Bewilderment. Yeah, they're in the Krishna book. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, bewilderment, there's four. Anybody know the other three?
Death also. Death.
Death?
Yes.
So now there's just two missing, the two missing whips. So that can be, someone can look that up and look it up in the Krishna book. All right, you had a question?
I understand that I have to work, okay, just to maintain everything on mm-hmm. the physical platform. Mm-hmm. But at work, sometimes I feel that why I'm here. Because whatever you feel or whatever you think or what consciousness you have, it is so hard to not explain to be with I feel not miserable, but I feel uncomfortable in that situation. But at the same time, I have to work, I have to maintain my life materially. Mm-hmm. But at the workplace, I feel so boring for me. Mechanically I'm doing it, but at the same time, my consciousness is not with that.
Then you have to find a way to use your job to push forward Krishna consciousness. Then it'll become exciting. You see? I know one devotee, he had a job as some consulting job, some professional job, sitting in office. So he took his Bhagavad Gita as it is every day, and he would prominently put it there on his desk. You see? So this is some American boy who was working in the same office. He said, "What is this you're reading?" So now that boy, he became a devotee, he got initiated by Prabhupada. You see. So you have to use your job as some preaching opportunity. Do they have a break room there? So why don't you bring some prasadam cookies and say, with love, so and so, for all of you. And every now and then, maybe once a week, bring a big thing of cookies and put it in the break room, a little note, and everyone take one. I made these with love for you. You don't say it's Krishna prasadam, because they may not touch it then. But you have to intelligently find ways to use your job as an opportunity for pushing forward Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Distributes Bhagavad Gita at work? He does?
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah, that's very good. You have to utilize it for Krishna, that's all. You have to be bold. Think, how can I be, Krishna, please use me as a spiritual revolutionary in my workplace. You see? You have to be bold. You see? To be a Prabhupada, one lady, she was book distributor in the airport. She was thinking, but in Vedic culture, a woman is supposed to be very shy, and how can I go to the airport and be approaching men with books and taking money from them for the book? That's aggressive. That's not the role of a woman in Vedic culture. She was a little even though she was very successful in doing that, she was wondering, is this really the role for a woman to be aggressive like that? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. He said, I was not invited to your country. I came as an aggressor. So you should be very aggressive, thinking, how can I get these people into Krishna consciousness? You see? That will make your professional life, your work life, interesting. How can I utilize this opportunity of having contact with these people to bless them with Krishna consciousness? Next question.
Yeah.
Prasadam, how will the word spread?
Well, if you have a desk, you have a cubicle, then you can put your Krishna pictures there. That's one thing. That's always a good one. Put Prabhupada, your Guru Maharaj, put Krishna. If you have your cubicle is like a little mandir. Anybody who walks in there, they go, wow, this is amazing. Now, I don't know, but you have an office, a desk?
Her question was related to putting the cookies in the break area.
Yeah.
Without mentioning prasada.
If there's no break area?
No, without mentioning it's prasada, what is going to spread?
If they don't know it's prasadam?
That's right.
Prasadam is very powerful. Anyone who takes prasadam becomes blessed. Just like our restaurants, people think it's the best vegetarian restaurant in town. They don't necessarily know it's prasadam even. The potency of the prasadam will act whether they know what it is or not. Prasadam is very, very powerful. Sometimes I know one time I was preaching to one South Indian Christian, and I brought some prasadam for him. And he said, I gave it to him, is this prasadam? I immediately knew that if I say yes, he's not going to touch it. So I said, no, it's not prasadam. So he took it. You could say that that's immoral. You say, oh, you violated dharma. But no, that is the highest dharma, you see, to bless them with prasad. So whether they know or they don't know, if they take prasad, even if you have to lie and say, it is not, no worry, it's not prasad. It's just some nice recipe I got out of a cookbook. It's really good. Try it, you'll like it. Even if you have to tell them it's not prasadam, even if you have to lie and say it is not prasadam, still they will be blessed. That is the power of Krishna prasadam. Next question. Yeah.
Just to add to the idea of prasadam distribution at our workplaces, I think in most cases, the fact that within the Western culture, their cake, they can't do without egg in preparing the cake. And so
eggs and cake?
In the West.
No, actually, you just put some sour cream instead of the eggs or yogurt and it works fine.
I'm trying to make some comment. That normally, they can't do without egg in their cakes. And if you prepare the cake in the Krishna conscious recipe, and if you introduce even just to your friends and colleagues that this is an eggless cake and it's actually superb. I mean, it's super
sweet. We can say this.
Yeah, it will be inquisitive.
Yeah, it's very good. I've been making eggless. I used to cook at our Sunday program in Austin. We just took the egg cake recipes. We put sour cream or yogurt instead of the eggs, and the cakes came out very nicely. So yes, you can. Say, this is you try this eggless cake. Yeah, you can do that. That's nice. Any other question?
No, I have a small question. My son had meningitis. And he was getting treated for that.
For what?
Meningitis.
Meningitis?
In the hospital. And they were saying, we have found out it's meningitis and we'll cure it. So I became very curious to find out what exactly are you referring to? What is meningitis?
What is it?
He became curious to find out what is meningitis.
Oh, okay.
So they told me that his brain fluid has got infected meaning like a lot of bacteria have gone in the brain fluids, and we are giving antibiotic to cure them.
Okay, what is
it? It means that the brain fluid has become infected with bacteria.
Mm-hmm. So once I asked them what infection means, they said there are like thousands and thousands of bacteria in his brain fluid. And once they say we are going to cure those, it means they're going to kill those with the antibiotic.
Okay. They said we're going to cure it by with an antibiotic.
Okay.
Which means they're going to kill the bacteria.
Kill the bacteria.
Okay.
So basically all the bacteria are living beings.
Yeah.
And they have souls in those.
That's right.
So for a moment, I was not sure what is right, what is wrong.
Yeah. So it is all right. You can kill the bacteria. So what the question is, why? In this material world, even you take a carrot, you're killing the carrot. Even if you're a pure vegetarian, when you eat a potato, you know you can take a potato from the store, you can put it in a glass of water and it will sprout. Even taking a potato, you're killing a living being who's in that potato. You, even by breathing, you're killing so many microbial germs. With every, you're actually a terrorist, you know that? You're committing mass murder every time you inhale. You see? So, what to do? And the karma is very heavy. Even being a vegetarian, you see, it's heavy karma. So just as an ambulance driver can run a red light without getting a ticket, because he is doing that in the service of the government. If you will engage everything in the service of Krishna, whatever killing you may have to do in your ordinary course of activities, that will be forgiven. There will be no karmic reaction. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, sarva-dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva-papebhyo mokshyasyami ma shuchah. If you surrender to me, then I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. So actually, it is a correct understanding that by killing a bacteria, there is some karma from doing them. That's a fact, there is. You have to become a bacteria so that bacteria can become a human being and kill you. That is karma. So how to get out of the dilemma? That is Krishna consciousness, given in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says the way out of this karmic dilemma is you do everything for me. And therefore I, just like the ambulance driver, can run the red light with no ticket. You won't have to take brothers of bacteria by killing the bacteria. You won't have to take brothers of potato for every potato you ate, or a carrot, what to speak of being meat eater, you see, which is even heavier karmic reaction. So it is a simple thing. Your understanding is correct. There is karma. Even for killing bacteria, there is karma. That's the thing. But if you will offer everything in the service of the Lord, then all karma becomes relieved. No more karma. It's karma finished. So now do you understand why we are encouraging everyone to take to bhakti path? So they can become free of all karma. We want to free you from your karma. That is our mission. Kindly come here regularly and learn from the devotees and from the gurus who come here how to become free from karma by surrendering to Krishna. That is our humble request. Any other question? I think the RT begins at 7. Yeah. So we have about 60 seconds left. Anyone has that question they were just wanted to ask, but they were afraid to ask, they were feeling shy? Now's your chance to ask it quickly before the time runs out. Yeah.
There are friends of mine who actually, see, if I believe in Krishna, they tell me that, why do you always believe in Krishna? You know, you need not believe Krishna, you need not believe in God. You know, if you have something in your heart, if you have the, if you have the desire to pray, you know, you can just pray from your heart or from your mind, and you can just, you can think about Krishna or somebody else also. Is it?
You say that, why do you pray to Krishna? As long as you have the desire to pray, it doesn't matter who you pray to. Just pray from your heart.
See, pray means you're asking for something. So let's say you're coming into town. You're in a new town. You don't know how to get to your destination. You need to find out where is, you know, 26 Second Avenue. Where is it? Will you ask a parking meter? Will you ask a tree? Will you ask a stop sign? My dear stop sign, please tell me where... No, if you want to find out something, you have to go to the proper source who's qualified to answer your question. It's foolish to ask a stop sign or a tree how to find a specific street because they can't even talk. So if you want something, you should find that person who is providing everything and ask him. He is the one. If you ask someone, if you ask a beggar in the street, she, Purnitai ki jai, she, Sita Ramanam and Lakshman ki jai, she Natji ki jai. So we'll just finish real quick here. You have to ask that person who can provide it. Don't ask someone who can't provide it. Ask the one who provides everything. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.